Spring Valley Church. It's really good to see everybody. I'm so thankful for our church family, and it's pretty amazing to think that God has put us here in this place at this time. And like Michael said, just thankful we can gather. So bless you, and I'm excited for what God has for each one of us tonight. I wanted to start out with a photo and a quote. A friend posted this on social media not too long ago, and it just really landed on my soul. I love what it says, that faith is a deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Last Sunday morning, Mike and I drove back from Central Oregon to Salem, and it was the third time that I've seen the devastation of the summer's fires. I don't know how many of you have made that drive from here over to Sisters or Bend or Sun River, but to go through Mill City and Gates and Detroit and on either side and to witness that devastation, it's just profound and very sobering. And to witness the blackened trees, some of the homes completely reduced to ash, other structures just apparently randomly still standing. It's just, there's no words really to describe that experience. And this the forest here in this picture really is a contrast to a lot of what we see in the San Yam Canyon. And the words remind us that a lot of life is beyond our control, beyond our understanding, just like the path and fury of a fire. But God's purposes are steady. They hold firm through it all according to his character. And the Bible would tell us just a few of the many aspects of God's character that we see in Scripture would be perfect in justice, perfect in wisdom, perfect in love, always redemptive, and always working for good. And I appreciate how this quote points out two of the key aspects of the Lord's plans, his ways and at the time, which we could also call God's when. In other words, his way and his when are often not what we would choose. And that's why we have to make what the author calls the choice to have deliberate confidence, which is another word for faith. Waiting in faith for God's way and when. This truth is powerfully portrayed in tonight's passage along our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. And I'd like to pray, and then we'll read tonight's text. Father God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we are in awe of your grace to us. And Holy Spirit, we would invite you to lead us into all truth. I thank you that you brought each one of us here specifically. And I believe you, God, you have a word that you want to speak of hope and encouragement, rest and help. So we trust you, Lord, to use your word for your purpose, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, and I'll be reading in the New American Standard. Well, while he, Jesus, was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and he began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once, the woman was made well. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in the noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. The girl got up. I love that line. This news spread throughout all the land. Oh, yes, it did. Now, in the verses immediately preceding, Jesus had been teaching the disciples about how the new and the different dynamics of his kingdom. Mark shared that with us last week really meaningfully in a lot of helpful and fresh ways, the new and the different dynamics of the kingdom of Jesus. What follows here in tonight's text is a stunning demonstration of Christ's ability and his prerogative in choosing the way and the when. And as we look at this passage, I'd like to consider three key questions. What does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about ourselves? And what does it tell us about how God relates to us and desires that we relate to him? So in answer to the first question, here's what I see, and you may well see many more things. But here's a few things that I see about God in this Bible passage. God allows hard things. Verse 19, a religious ruler's daughter has died. In another gospel account of this story, in Luke chapter 8, verse 42, we learn that she is his only daughter, and she's about 12 years old. I cannot imagine that level of grief. A woman had suffered bleeding disorder for 12 years. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 26, gives even more detail. It says that she had endured much at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had. She was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. Multiple layers of struggle and despair. Also, in the context of her culture, this woman was dealing with both physical and emotional suffering. First, the weakness and the unpleasantness of perpetual bleeding. And second, Jewish law classified women who were bleeding as ceremonially unclean. Through no fault of her own, this woman would have been very much ostracized and isolated. And yet, side by side with the reality of the hard things that God allows, we see through Jesus that he is approachable and he responds to faith. Because of what they knew of Jesus, both the ruler and the woman came boldly to him for help. The ruler's belief that Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead, as well as the woman's belief that she needed to only touch his garment, demonstrated great faith. Faith in God's way and when. And here we see two different kinds of faith. On behalf of others, the father for his daughter, and on behalf of ourselves, the woman reaching out for her own healing. Another thing that this passage shows us about God is that God is not restricted to the expected. God is not restricted to the expected. Raising a child from the dead, immediately healing a woman who had been sick for 12 years. Miracles are no problem for God. As Scripture tells us in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. And now for our second question. What does the passage say about us? I see one primary aspect, and it's difficult to acknowledge, but we know it's true. Life is hard, and we will suffer hard things. Some of us have already known. Some of us are right now in the midst of great suffering. For others of us, it's yet to unfold. One of the chapters in the book that we've studied as a church family, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, one of those chapters is titled Journey Through the Wall. And in it, the author does a powerful job of describing the wall, another term for the really hard things that we face in our lives. And in the chapter, the author talks about feelings and questions we may encounter. And so here's what he notes. Just see if you might identify with any of these. Remembering a wall you went through, or maybe you're facing a wall right now. I'm bewildered. I don't know what God is doing right now. I'm hurt. I am angry. Yes, this is a mystery. I am very sad right now. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? The author goes on to observe, ultimately, God is the one who moves us through the wall. And with that comes mystery. How and when God takes us through is up to him. How and when God takes us through is up to him. If you have not read that chapter in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, I hope you will. It's been extremely helpful to me. It's very much underlined and starred, check marks. It's powerful. And then finally, our third question. What does the passage say about God and how he relates to us and how he desires that we relate to him? So I believe that this passage and the account of the ruler and this woman shows us very specifically that God hears our prayers and he sees us one by one. Although the Lord had allowed both of these individuals and their loved ones, their family and friends, to suffer beyond what I can imagine, he did not dismiss them. Jesus went to the ruler's house, and amid the crowd, he asked, "Who touched me?" Much to the wonder of his disciples, Jesus took the time to recognize and speak kindness to an individual woman. In Mark chapter 5, verses 30 through 34, we get a little bit more of the painting of the scene of what was going on. Starting in verse 30, Mark chapter 5, this is after the woman had reached out to touch Jesus' garment. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Jesus, surrounded by people, and on the way to an important destination, he took the time to recognize and speak words of kindness to this woman who had been ostracized. He publicly commended her faith. He called her daughter. Friends, the Lord hears our prayers, and he sees us one by one. A few verses earlier in Mark chapter 5, we see that the Lord also calls us to remember who he is. Verses 27 and 28 say this: "After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, 'If I just touch his garments, I will get well.'" Hearing, thinking. And in our case, it could be reading, reflecting, being intentional to listen to read scripture, to know, and to cling to who God is. Hearing about Jesus gave the woman the faith she needed to reach out. we need to, again, be intentional to know and to cling to who God is, and then align our thinking accordingly. This is vital amid life's trials because, for me, my thoughts quickly go to fear, despair. It happens real easy. But to align my thinking, to align our thinking with who God is. And friends, there is nothing more powerful than God's word to sustain our hope and renew our faith. Another aspect, God invites us to keep asking, keep trusting him for help. In this Bible passage, we see the religious ruler and this woman boldly asking Jesus for big things. They were not dissuaded, despite what their circumstances would dictate. The ruler's daughter had died. This woman had tried every conceivable avenue, only to get worse, suffer loss, but they persevered. And I'm reminded of one of my favorite Bible prayers based on Mark 9:24 when it comes to persevering in faith, keeping on trusting, keeping on asking. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. God will always answer that prayer. We cannot drum up faith on our own power, but by the Holy Spirit, God can give us fresh faith moment by moment. And then finally, an aspect I see in tonight's passage regarding how we relate to God. This one is not my favorite, honestly, but often it's, of course, the best. God's way and when will likely not match our expectations. God's way and when will likely not match our expectations. I imagine that the synagogue ruler had cried out to the Lord fervently on behalf of his daughter, but she had died. Also, I cannot imagine his urgency when he's saying, Jesus, please come to my house. But Jesus stops along the way to deal with someone else. The woman, she had languished in her suffering for 12 years. 12 years. Why did God wait so long to heal her? In both cases, I would have expected him to respond differently. I'm reminded of one of several Bible passages that talks about the mystery of God's way and when. In the words of the Lord himself, in the book of Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." And yet, despite the fact that God's way and when is often not what we expect, Matthew chapter 9, 18 through 26 brings marvelous hope because we see the Lord respond to faith. Although the way and the when are not as expected, he eventually and miraculously accomplishes victory over death and disease. Hallelujah! That's our God. That's our God. But friends, for me, in this place, there's also what I call a sticking point. A sticking point. What about many instances, some of which we're living right now, when God is not granting what we request? Healing, physical or emotional. Reconciliation of relationship. Freedom from addiction. We all have a list, things we're praying, but we're just not seeing an answer. How do we persevere in the waiting? How do we cultivate a resilient faith? It's vital to base our expectation, which expectation is another word for hope. We need to base our expectation on the big picture of Scripture, because when we look at the Bible as a whole, it doesn't take long to find accounts of God not intervening as desired. Consider Paul, the Apostle Paul, his prayer in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He asked the Lord three times to take away what he calls a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but when you think about the language, the imagery, a thorn in your flesh, I think we would all want it out of there, and we'd want it out now. So the Apostle Paul, he's begging God, would you please remove this thing which is causing pain, discomfort, distraction, whatever it was. He prayed urgently three times, but God did not grant that request. Instead, he gave him the promise of strength to endure it. It's a phrase we may have heard. My grace is sufficient for you. That was God's answer. That was his way and his when for the Apostle Paul. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is also known as the Hall of Faith, there are many believers who did not walk or see God work in the way and the when they might have requested or expected. In Valley Church, our Savior is our ultimate example. As we continue through the Gospel of Matthew, we'll eventually come to chapter 26, verses 38 and 39. Then Jesus said to them, his disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And the scripture goes on to show Jesus repeating this heart-wrenching request three times, yet God did not grant it. We see Jesus fully entrusting himself to the Father's care, yet not as I will, but as you will. In God's way, in God's when, he allowed unimaginable suffering to bring about indescribable victory, so that you and I, and all who believe, could have forgiveness and freedom and eternal life. A few years back, the Lord brought a book to my attention titled Hope Heals. It's written by Catherine and Jay Wolfe, and it tells the story of how Catherine, at age 26, mama to their six-month-old baby boy, she suffered a severe brain stroke. 40 days on life support, 2 years in full-time brain rehab, and her body's still significantly disabled even today. Yet, their Hope Heals website describes Catherine and her husband as survivors, communicators, and advocates. They share their story in many places. They've founded Hope Heals Camp for families impacted by disability. At one point in the book, Jay Wolfe makes this observation, which has been and continues to be extremely meaningful to me. He says, "If hope is only rooted in an outcome, then your expectations will crush you." If hope is only rooted in an outcome, then your expectations will crush you. In our places of great suffering, we must cling to God's character, the certainty that he is always working for good, even when we can't see it, we can't feel it. We have deliberate confidence in the truth of who he is. I imagine that all of us here tonight have places where we are waiting in faith for God's way. And when? Some of us are riding a fresh wave of hope. Maybe something is starting to change. Others of us, we're just barely keeping our head above water, just trying to hang on to just a shred of hope, a shred of faith. But either way, the Lord brought each one of us here to receive specific encouragement from His Word. This has been extremely timely for me, as I've been facing a fresh wave of discouragement about prayers that I've continued to pray. A couple of those prayers have spanned more than 10 years. Another has been just about 2 years, and that relates to what Michael mentioned. In early April of 2019, I suffered what my dentist called a severe TMJ episode. And suddenly, out of the blue, I was experiencing the kind of deep and continuous pain, like when you've had Novocaine, if you've had a root canal or some kind of a significant dental work done, and that Novocaine starts to wear off, and you have that pain that's just like deep, 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 deep. I've seen 7 different doctors. I've tried more than 20 medical techniques, methods, medications, and I've received some relief. I'm so ecstatic I'm standing here tonight, but I still have significant limits. I can't sing anymore, because you don't even realize when you sing, you open up your mouth and you use your jaw differently. I've been a singer since I was a little girl. Talking is limited to quieter settings and shorter time frames. I'm not quite sure when the pain will flare, and so I've canceled a lot of social plans last minute. I had been a teacher in a lot of settings for a few decades, but now that's really rare. Tonight's my third time teaching in 2 years, and you may have noticed I don't open my mouth very wide. I know this could all be so much worse, but it's still hard. It's taken me a long time to release my expectation, my demand at times, that God would restore me to my full and former abilities. I've had to mourn the loss of things that I loved and which had shaped my identity more than I had recognized. I continue to seek steps toward healing, but I'm learning to surrender my will and to rest in God's way and when. Yet amid this struggle, the Lord has lavished me with grace through His Word, through worship, through a lot of necessary silence, and through many of His people, including some of you. God has brought specific encouragement each and every day. His mercy and strength are abundant, even in the middle of questions and suffering. I am not the same person I was 2 years ago. I know more than ever He is with me and He is for me. In that truth, I have hope and I have peace, and so can you. I'd like to invite the worship band to come on up, if they would, if you would. I'd like to close with a prayer that was recently shared by a friend. And I believe it expresses much of what we have considered tonight. It's a fresh declaration of faith, as well as a plea for God's intervention. May we be bold in bringing our fervent requests to Jesus, and also releasing them anew to His care. I would invite you to even extend your hand, as the woman did in tonight's Bible passage, reaching out to Jesus for help and for healing. Just a mustard seed of faith is just a Jesus, I need you. That's all He asks of us. We don't know how He will answer, but we know He hears and He responds as we wait in faith for His way and His when. You, O Lord, are God, the one true God, Most High. We believe You. We trust You. We know You are good. Your nature is kind, holy, good. This life is hard, and without You, where would we be? Where would we go? Please help us. Help us today in every way we know we need, and in the ways we don't know too. Thank You. We wait for You, Lord. We know You are always on time and always good. In Jesus' name, amen.